Kia ora everybody, this is Anne Chapman and having a conversation this week with Fen Gordon, who is an Ōtaki resident and has a background in arts. I don't know if that is as an artist, as a performer or as an administrator. So what's your background, Fen?
Kia ora Anne, definitely not an actor or a performer. That is, I don't think I'd be any good on a stage. I'm a producer, so I'm behind the scenes with the performers, and I work across art forms, so I have a very low boredom threshold. I work in the contemporary performing arts, and I've always worked across art form.
What do you mean by contemporary performing arts?
I mean work that is created by, in this instance, people from artists from Aotearoa, artists from Australia. I work in both countries, who work in a contemporary world. So they're making work about contemporary events, and they're making it in a contemporary style.
You worked for a long time in Australia, but you are a New Zealander.
I am a New Zealander. I started my career here in Aotearoa. I never actually thought I could be a producer. I kind of just made it up as I went along. I started in the late 1980s, early 1990s, and I was mentored by two quite extraordinary women, one of whom now lives in Ōtaki, Carla Van Zon, who was the artistic director of the New Zealand International Arts Festival and then of the Auckland International Arts Festival, and a gorgeous woman called Sue Patterson, who was most people probably remember her as the CEO of the Royal New Zealand Ballet, although that's what she did towards the end of her career. And I was just starting as a young producer, kind of just making it up. And Carla got the job at the festival as a marketing person, actually, before she became the artistic director. And she had committed to producing a work of Douglas Wright, who is
the ballet dancer.
Contemporary choreographer.
Right.
Yeah. And she wanted to move, and she needed somebody to take over that role, and I did. And so that was my kind of first entry into a more professional world of
what part of Australia were you in?
Oh, yes, we were talking about Australia. I was in Sydney, living in Redfern, and I moved there in my early 40s when I kind of got to the end of what I could do here as an independent without joining a venue or a festival, neither of which I wanted to do. I like working with artists and I like being on the floor with artists. So, yeah, so I moved to Australia and I joined a company there called Performing Lines, which is a quite extraordinary contemporary performing arts producing company that tours Australia nationally and takes work internationally. And the woman who was running it then was about to turn 80. She's quite extraordinary, still alive at 93 and still knows more about the arts than I'm ever going to know. And she wanted me to look at the international side of Performing Lines, because if you live in Aotearoa, New Zealand, you have, as a producer in the contemporary world, you have to learn about touring very fast, and you have to get out of here because there's only 5 million people here. So taking work offshore is the way to survive and thrive as an artist and as a producer and be able to pay the bills.
And you were there for about 8 years, did you say?
No, I was there for 17 years.
17 years. Working in the arts field.
Yes, actually that was the first time in my life that I'd been full-time employed in the arts.
So what did you do before you went to Australia and joined the arts scene?
I was a producer here. I've always been a producer. I always had a one-day-a-week job here because I needed to pay the bills. And I worked for Smoke-Free Arts, which some of your listeners might remember, the varying smoke-free brand. I did that one day a week, but I worked across dance and theatre in the contemporary sector, and I worked with people, some of whom your listeners might know. I worked with Miranda Harcourt, I worked with Tim Balm and Katie Wolf, I worked with Douglas Wright, I worked with Michael Parmenter, and other artists. So
what brought you back to Aotearoa and specifically Ōtaki?
I was born in Ōtaki. My father was the vet there in the 1960s. I didn't actually think I'd ever live in Ōtaki again. I came back from Australia for two reasons. I always knew I'd come back. New Zealand is an Aotearoa's home. But for a very pragmatic reason, I needed a pension. And New Zealand has one of the best pension systems in the world, long may it last. And my mother was ill, so I came home slightly earlier than I'd anticipated coming home. I had come home a couple of years prior to moving back, and I'd kind of tutted around Aotearoa looking for where I might live. I thought I would like to live in a small town because I've always lived in cities and I wanted to experience what it was like in a small town. I wanted to know people. In the arts, I work in a bubble, and the people I work with generally share my politics and my perspective. I wanted to put myself into a situation where I didn't necessarily share everybody's perspective and where I could meet people who had different perspectives and where I could work with people who were from the age of zero to the age of 90, because I tend to work in a very specific area of the arts. So I tutted around New Zealand and I came to Ōtaki last because this is where Carla now lives, and I had a heavy word put on me to come and stay. And on about the third day, I said, oh, this is an interesting place. This has really changed since I was a child. But there's no swimming pool. And so she took me to the swimming pool, and I thought, oh, this is a
swimming pool. Yes.
It's an excellent swimming pool. Certainly didn't exist when I was a child. And so on the fourth day, I kind of said to her, well, maybe it's Ōtaki and Carla is a force of nature. And she said, right, well, I've already sorted out real estate agents. She was two steps ahead of me. Let's go and talk to them. And so I spent about a year looking until I found somewhere that I wanted to buy. And yeah, the rest is history.
And at the moment, you have a wonderful event being planned with a group of Ōtaki people, a group that you're leading, and it's called In Other Words, Ōtaki.
It is called In Other Words, Ōtaki, and it's a great group of people that I found through the lovely Jackie Simpson at Ōtaki Books & Co., such a brilliant bookshop, another major plus for living in Ōtaki. And Jackie had a group of people who had all said to her, why don't we do something around storytelling books? Oh, it was Anne. It was you, Anne. So why don't we do something around books? And she got us all together and we had a conversation and we came up with the concept of a storyteller's residency. And that residency is very close to my heart because artists, the best thing they can have is time and space to make work. Ideally paid time and space, but that rarely happens in Australia and in New Zealand. And so we kind of got together and started coming up with the concept of what it might be.
So what is it?
So it's a 10-day residency for 5 storytellers, although we had a cohort of 3 apply as 1 this time, so it's in actual fact 7 storytellers this time around. They come to stay in August from the 1st to the 10th at Beaches at the Beach. Oh, that's hard to say, isn't it? That are generously donated by Batch owners. The aim of this whole thing was to have the smallest budget possible so that we could deliver it in the best way possible without having to raise huge sums of money. We were very lucky to have Kelly & Co. come on as our key sponsor really early on in the piece. And so the artists, it's a residency with a difference though. So at most residencies, artists sit in the place where the residency is happening and they beaver away to themselves over the time of that residency. And they have some engagement with the community, but not a lot of formal engagement with the community. And we decided that we would like to have an event, a residency with a difference, so that the artists would have lots of time to themselves to walk on the beach and to think and to engage, but also have one tailor-made event with a community group and then a larger event that they would all take part in. Because this is a pilot this year, we're keeping that to community groups. We're working through community groups, so it's not open to the general public at this stage, but it will be in future.
So what do you mean working through community groups? What are these community groups and how does that all fit in and work together?
So what I should say right from the start is that we did a nationwide call out and we asked storytellers, and we made it storytellers very deliberately.
Rather than writers
obviously are encompassed within storytellers, yeah. But so that we could go broad, essentially. We asked them to write a 500-word statement on how their work engages with positive social change. Because if there's one thing you know about Ōtaki, it's full of social enterprise movements that are quite extraordinary. If I think of Te Moriha at the beach, I think of the small the small tiny homes that the kura is building. I think of Māori Lands, I think of the Kite Festival, I think of a whole lot of different things that are really quite extraordinary. And so we looked for people who specifically were working in that area. And then we worked with them to devise each of their tailor-made engagements with community groups. And we used their skill set to determine what that might be. And perhaps it's best explained by my telling you what those
who the writers are.
Yeah. So the writers are Nadine Hooder, who has a great book that's just out called Slowing the Sun, which is an Indigenous take on climate change. And her small engagement is working with the Tū Kura and the Wānanga around a zine-making workshop for select of their students. She makes zines from all sorts of different things, largely found things, which is amazing. We have Ralph McCubbin Howell, who is one half of a theatre company called Trick of the Light, and they are quite an extraordinary theatre company that make work for young people. They tour internationally. They're quite extraordinary. And Ralph is actually doing something slightly different. He's doing two performances of his work, The Bookbinder, which is a solo show, at Books & Co. in the bookshop.
Oh, how lovely.
Which is going to be quite fun. It's only for us, obviously, a small group of people who can fit into the bookshop. That is the only ticketed, paid event, and we are going through the primary schools and through the Books & Co. database to source audience for that. And all of the ticket fee goes directly to Ralph and Trick of the Light. Then we've got Helen Lendorf, and Helen is a forager. She wrote a book called My Foraging Life, and she is doing a piece called Eat the Weeds, which is a foraging workshop with poetry.
I was going to ask you to explain foraging. Some people mightn't understand that term.
Foraging is finding plants that exist outside of gardens in open areas that people can publicly access that you can eat. And in actual fact, I was gardening
like,
with a
friend. Like onion wheat.
Like onion wheat. Well, I was gardening with a friend yesterday and he was complaining about, it wasn't onion weed, it's that other little weed that goes all around. I can't remember what it's called.
Bindweed. Convolvulus.
Anyway, you can eat it, it turns out. I Googled it and I was like, it tastes lemony and quite... it's a version of sorrel.
Oh, right.
But it's not sorrel. It's a thing that most people pull out. Anyway, Helen is leading a small group of 15, and we're going through community groups. And she'll lead a group of 15 people in an area of Aotearoa that's publicly accessible to explore and find weeds that you can eat. And then Lucy O'Hagan. Lucy is a GP, and she has a book coming out in September about her experiences as a GP. And she's creating a performance piece to go along with that, and we are doing a small showing of that at Oranga Aotearoa, the new medical centre in Aotearoa. And ideally we'll invite Aotearoa Medical, and we'll also invite other practitioners who are working in the social services area. And that's useful to both Lucy and that group, because Lucy will get feedback on how her performance is sitting for her book launch, which is what she's planning it for. And then the last lot are Ruth Paul and co. So Ruth Paul and Peter Hamilton and Fifi Colston. And they are a group. Ruth is a children's book author, quite a well-known children's book author. And they are creating a new work for performance, ideally, in 2026. And so they are going to work with 2 to 6 students from Aotearoa College towards the end of their time to get the work up on its feet in a way, to see what it looks like, to put the voices in, to see how it sits on a stage. That's on one afternoon. And the next afternoon, they're going to Aotearoa Primary School. And from 2 to 3 p.m, they will showcase where they've gotten to in front of the new entrants, Year 1 and Year 2 students at Aotearoa Primary. And that's kind of, if you think about it in a launch a new product world, it's sort of like a little bit of a focus group to get feedback from the kids, although It's not how we'll describe it to the kids. that's what that one is. So those are the events.
And part of the core group organising this are two college students.
Three college students,
yeah. Which I think is a really interesting concept. So to include them, to get their excitement and their youth and their...
They're different perspectives on
what is happening in the world today with climate change.
They're just absolutely brilliant, our three young female students from Ōtaki College.
Can we give a shout out to them and name them?
I'm not sure if we can name them because we haven't actually asked them if we can name them, but they are 100% fantastic. They challenge us, which is why we wanted them in, because we are all of a certain age, and they've introduced us to TikTok and other sundry little things, which is absolutely brilliant. And the value that they get from this is they get to see how an event is created from inception to delivery. So it's a really good life skill set to have.
Seven that you've chosen. How did they come to be chosen?
So we did a nationwide call out, and we went through every storytelling organisation we could lay our hands on, from Creative New Zealand to the New Zealand Society of Authors to the New Zealand Geographical Society, anyone we thought would be working in a social change sphere in a storytelling capacity. We got some lovely applications back in.
How many did you get?
We got about 25, I think. Residencies are always tricky because people have to have the time to be able to take out of their lives, and that's specifically why we made it 10 days, and B, the social change we deliberately put in so we didn't get inundated with hundreds of people who would be validly looking for residencies that we can't offer them. And we had two external assessors and the committee as a third assessment voice in one. So that we had some externals looking at it and not just looking at it from our own perspective to select the five, which became seven because three applied as one.
So when you first, the first concept was kind of a writing festival, how did you evolve from strictly authors sitting down in a quiet, secure space to the concept that you eventually evolved with more interactive? How did that all happen? Because when Jackie and I first talked about it, it was writers.
Yeah.
Because being a writer, it was, you know, that was my focus.
Yes.
So it was really quite interesting to be part of the committee that suddenly widened the horizons.
Yeah. The festival was what was in most people's minds when we started to talk about this. And there are a couple of reasons why festivals, which are fabulous, weren't appropriate for this. So festivals, artists, writers, storytellers, whichever the festival is, they tend to come in, they engage through whatever it is that they are delivering. If it's a writers' festival, it's generally they're launching books or they're trying to sell books, and they're reading from their books and then signing their books and then maybe sitting in a panel and then maybe leaving. But they spend maybe 2 to 3 hours in a community and then they're out the door. And in conversing around what Ōtaki offers, we realised we wanted to do something different that had more of a community engagement focus. And that had more value to storytellers that were looking for space and time to be able to finesse whatever work, or start a piece of work, or have a break from a piece of work so they're thinking about a new piece of work, and that they would engage with the community in a really different way. And we've got some great sponsors on board to facilitate that. The swimming pool have given us access to the swimming pool for
them. So let's talk about all the sponsors. The main sponsor, of course, is Kelly & Co.
That's it. The lovely Derek and Tracy, who are quite extraordinarily involved in the community. They really set the bar high.
They're always the first to put their hands up
for community events.
So here's to Kelly & Co. as the major sponsor for, in other words, Otaki.
Absolutely. Okay. And we should also say a huge shout out to New World, who are supplying grocery vouchers so that...
So the artists are going to have their food donated as well?
That's correct. Well, they actually get to select what they want to eat. So yep. So thanks to New World Otaki, that's absolutely brilliant. And we actually had to go back to them because, in fact, we added the other two to our five, and they were very accommodating around that, which was just absolutely brilliant. And then we have a group of other brilliant Otaki community members, Concrete Doctors, Land Matters, and we have to thank KCDC also for their investment through the
Community grant scheme.
Thank you very much, Anne. And also the Otaki Community Board, who have come on board. Webbed Print, who have printed out our wee invitations and flyers for the groups that we are doing. So we look more professional than we possibly are. So we have to do a huge shout out to our fabulous sponsors, and we have named some of them already, but we have to thank Chatswood Kitchens, Concrete Doctors, Land Matters, the Otaki Community Board, Books & Co, of course, who are fabulous supporters. And if you don't realise in Otaki that we have a bookshop up on the main street, we do definitely go visit it. It's quite an extraordinary shop. Web to Print, and we cannot ever forget our fantastic batch owners, because without them,
it's an extraordinarily generous thing to do, because to open your home, to allow your home to a stranger for 10 days and not expect anything in return is extraordinarily generous, I think, and also quite brave. Talking about bravery, is the, in other words, Otaki carrying the insurance for these properties, yes, while they're there?
Yes, we're making a donation to their existing insurance policies. We worked out exactly what that would be on a 10-day visit. And we're also obviously have public liability. And I should also say we have a Māori name as well. So we are Kia Rerike Te Hua Otaki, which was gifted to us by the lovely Fili Meta Kingi when we started out. And that's very important to us because obviously Otaki has a strong presence with Raukawa, and we utterly respect and engage with them around that.
And one of the committee members has got a public space, an art gallery, and this is also going to be made available to residents to come and have a drink, have a coffee, have a chat, saying, how are you getting on? Is it all working for you?
That's correct. It gives it, because the storytellers are deep. In fact, one of their first questions was, who else has been selected? And there are some synergies amongst that group. It's great to have time after you've been walking on the beach and sitting at your desk writing, and as you well know, and being an author yourself, to be able to go out. And
I wanted to apply because I don't get the time.
We did say that people from Otaki could apply. So next time, we are planning this as an annual event. So
yes, that was going to be my next question. This is a pilot. Yep. We hope it will work. And next year will it be the same model, or are you going to tweak it?
We're going to evaluate the whole thing at the end of this process. So we'll evaluate it from the batch owners, the storytellers, and our community groups.
And you'll have to produce a report for your funders anyway.
We will, absolutely. And then we're going to sit down and talk and see what worked, what didn't work, and how we might do it next year. The idea next year is, now we've got our feet under the table, as it were, is that we'll hopefully be able to open it up to a general public audience and make it wider, at least one or two of the events as we go. Because I think the model of working with community groups has been so rewarding, and it's so specific. The skill set and knowledge and exchange and communication will be amazing, I think.
So did the community groups arrive purely from the artists, the writers that you chose, or was it the other way around?
No, it's purely from the storytellers that we've chosen. So we've looked at what their skill set and their interests are, and we've tried to make it so that they get some benefit from it as well, such as Lucy, who will get some feedback on her performance from her very key audience.
And a final question. Do we get to see what they have produced?
Well, that's an interesting question, because we're not saying to them you have to work during this period of time. We're saying
you can just think
if you would like to just think. So I think we'll ultimately absolutely see what it is that they did. And the other way in which the community is going to be able to see this is our three young Ōtaki students are going to create small, not TikToks, but like TikToks, small videos of all the events that we're engaging in. And those will go up on our website and people can see what actually happened.
So you have a website?
We do have a website. It is www.iowo.org.nz.
And it's live yet?
It is live. There is information that it's changing all the time. So if you look at it now, make sure you look at it again in a couple of days.
Okay. And is there anything else you'd like to talk about with this wonderful group of people that have come up with this concept that's totally different to the original idea?
It's not to say that the original idea can't also happen at some stage. It's been, for me personally, it's been absolutely wonderful way to meet people in the community and engage. And there's such a great group of people. They are giving up their time to bring their skill set to this, and all of us have got limited time. So it's just extraordinary what a group of engaged Ōtaki community residents can create. It's
what we're good at.
It's what Ōtaki is very good at.
And so I'll leave it there. Thank you very much, Fen, and I hope it's successful. And and have you got a song that we can finish this interview with, Fen?
I do. In fact, it's completely appropriate to Ōtaki, and it's appropriate to my age and my life. It's a song by The Clean, the great Aotearoa band The Clean, and it's called Anything Could Happen.
And let's hope it does. Thank you very much, Fen.
Thank you, Anne.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.